Hello, and welcome back to the Video Essay Podcast. I'm your host, Will DeGravio. Today's episode is dedicated to the 2023 Sight and Sound Survey of the Year's Best Video Essays. For those who may not be familiar with the Sight and Sound poll, it is a poll that now in its seventh edition essentially surveys the year in video essays, as you know, they can be found in internet culture, film festivals, scholarship. Practitioners range from academics to YouTube video essayists to programmers to video essay enthusiasts. It is a poll that I have co-edited in years past, that a range of folks have co-edited in years past. And this year was organized by Irina Troquin, Kaylin Meadows, and Will Webb. Today's episode features a conversation hosted by Kevin B. Lee with this year's Sight and Sound poll curators. As you will see in their conversation, they discuss a lot of copyright issues that creators have encountered on YouTube and Vimeo, possible alternatives, how they will negotiate this going forward, and also discuss notable trends in the world of the video essay, and of course, works that were cited often on this year's poll. And also, one of the most exciting things that has emerged in the poll in recent years is a section devoted to highlighting emerging video essayists to kind of keep an eye out for. The reason that Kevin is moderating this conversation is because he, Johannes Binotto, and Evelyn Kreutzer, all three of them have appeared on the Video Essay Podcast before. So if you're not familiar with their work, I would encourage you to go and listen to those episodes, but chances are you've already encountered one of their videos somewhere on the internet. They recently started a three-year research project funded by the Swiss National Science Foundation. Kevin, in addition to being a pioneering video essayist, is the Locarno Film Festival professor for the future of cinema at USI University of Lugano. And he reached out to me when they got word that they had received funding for this project, and essentially said, you know, we're interested in recording a series of conversations amongst each other, but also with other video essayists and curators, you know, surveying notable works, trends in the field, the future of the video essay, really all kinds of questions. And he first pitched to me this conversation on the Sight and Sound poll. And I was quite eager to do it. I had held similar conversations in 2019, when I was one of the co-curators of the poll, and then again in 2020. So it's been a few years since we kind of had an episode dedicated to the poll, and I think what follows is a quite an interesting conversation. I do want to add that Kevin, for the past year, he has been writing a series of columns for Sight and Sound magazine in response to their recent, you know, survey of the greatest films of all time. I'll leave a link to those columns in the description below. I think for me, you know, there are, of course, many different problems with lists and things to discuss, but I think at the end of the day, I come down as pro-list, just because I think we can have lists, and you know, I don't think it's a binary thing, right, where we should have lists or no lists, but we should have lists in context and lead into the, you know, to the generative quality of lists. And I think Kevin's columns are a fantastic example of the ability for lists to raise all of these questions, and for lists to really be an ongoing living thing, which I think is what's so great about Sight and Sound, you know, every 10 years asking for the quote unquote greatest films of all time and seeing that growth. And that's what I wish for in the annual survey of the best video essays of the year. And I think Kevin as moderator here, and then Irina, Kaylin, and Will do a really fantastic job. It's such a great trio that we have co-curating the poll this year. Irina, who's a scholar, but who also has a background in programming and film criticism, really provides some great context, you know, talking about a programmer's perspective, but then also kind of talking about how, you know, these are billed as the best video essays, quote unquote, because of journalistic style practices and in keeping with the Sight and Sound tradition. Kaylin and Will, who are not scholars, but, you know, kind of operate in a bunch of different worlds, but are, you know, have a great expertise and knowledge of non-academic video essay publishing, really provide some great insight into this. One of the things that struck me was something that Will said, which was that many folks who are non-scholars sometimes, and in their experience as co-curators, felt perhaps a little bit uncomfortable in participating in a best of list, not wanting to hurt feelings or pick favorites. Whereas as he describes that perhaps sometimes it may lean more academic because academics are kind of used to the peer review process and giving feedback in this way, which I thought was a really, really important insight as we try to parse this out. And it was also very interesting for me. One of the things that Kaylin outlined was discussing the emergence of platforms like Nebula, which is a subscription service for creators that's invite only. And Kaylin was going through and comparing versions of video essays that were uploaded to both YouTube and Nebula, but in seeing how, there might be longer versions on Nebula or versions on Nebula that are, contain music or certain scenes because, they don't have to deal with certain copyright restrictions. So between the three of them, they provide a really excellent view of the video essay landscape as it exists now. And as I'm recording this now, I'm very excited to see what the final results of the poll actually are. So I'm very excited to share this conversation and very grateful to be publishing it here on the Video Essay Podcast. If you're listening for the first time, you can learn more about the Video Essay Podcast at thevideoessay.com. I also have a free newsletter, Notes on Videographic Criticism, that you can visit at thevideoessay.substack.com. Now, without further ado, here's the conversation between Kevin, Arena, Kaylin, and Will.
I'm Kevin B. Lee. I'm the professor for the Future of Cinema at the Locarno Film Festival and the USI University of Lugano. And it's really a pleasure to have this conversation with the three co-organizers of this year's Sight and Sound annual video essay poll, Kaylin, Irina, and Will. And why don't we just go ahead and have each of you introduce yourselves very briefly.
Sure. I'm Irina. I've been interested in video essays, occasionally making them for several years. The first time I coordinated the Sight and Sound poll was 2018, I think. I would identify as an academic, especially because I'm such a lousy editor that I don't think I'd ever gain anyone's attention on YouTube. But also because my PhD was partly concerned with video essays, and most of my time I spent teaching film studies in Bucharest.
Hi, I'm Kaylin Meadows. I make video essays with the username KikiCrazed on YouTube. Most of my videos are about film, but it's also just, whatever interests me. And I'm also a community manager for the Essay Library, which is a Discord server for video essays and video essayists. And this is my first time working on the poll.
Hi, I'm Will Webb. This is also my first time working on the poll. I'm a filmmaker and video essayist based in the very rainy London. I publish video essays under the name Indie Tricks on YouTube, although I'm better known for my commissioned work for people like Little White Lies, Curzon, and the British Film Institute.
All right, well, it's great to have all of you here. And you all have pretty significant engagement with video essays, although it's interesting to think about, especially in the context of this poll, what exactly is a video essay, and you're not always going to get the same answer depending on who you ask. And I think that's one reason why this poll is important. Irina, you've been managing this poll for several years now, on and off. You've been very involved with organizing the poll the last 2 years. And so maybe I'll ask you this question. For those who aren't familiar with the poll, why do you consider it significant, especially for understanding video essays?
Right. The first reason is the one you've mentioned. It provides a roadmap or survey of notable video essays. We've adopted the word best because it gets more clicks, but also because it's consistent with the Sight and Sound editorial practice and their very famous regular best films list that they make each year or for all times. So In processing this poll, we do collect some statistics on the most voted video essays each year, but our aim is to offer more visibility to the whole selection and to basically hopefully expand the definition of what could be considered a video essay. We hope that all genres are represented and they measure up to their particular standards. Academic video essays, whether they're individual research or workshop output, but also for cinephile video essays, whether they're on YouTube, Nebula, or somewhere else, we hope to collect some of the most representative titles of the year.
Will, you've been working with video essays for some time, and what was it like for you to engage with the organization of this poll for the first time? Did it give you a different sense on what video essays are or what's out there?
I mean, it's interesting because I come from the content creation kind of side of video essays, which is still relatively new in the kind of history of videographic criticism. So my view was always skewed away from the academics, and I've only really come to know them better over the last couple of years. And this poll like predominantly leans towards academia or for interesting reasons that we'll discuss later. For me, like I was aware of some of the breadth, but I think it's always interesting to see the new research that's coming out, particularly of like doctoral students and things like that, people who aren't previously known. And that's one of the things that I think the poll does a really good job of highlighting. There's not many people who just submit like the million plus views videos. And in fact, some of the big academic essays are still quite low viewed overall, especially compared to other internet content. I think this is actually the first time this year as well where one of the contributors to the poll is also named in the Sight and Sound Best Films poll, which is Radu Jude, the Romanian filmmaker. But, I mean, it's interesting to think about those interrelations, especially in the context of video essays being really quite a niche form until the last 10 years where YouTube and Vimeo kind of opened up a more public access to that kind of stuff.
But when it is so broad and expansive, do you find that it gets to a point where it's so stretched that we're really talking about different things? And do they still really belong in the same general category of video essay? Or were there selections that really tested your understanding of what a video essay is?
No, none that structurally really challenged me. I mean, I think one of the only people who nominated a TikTok this year. So like, I probably have a broader view than some. For me, like, it's a broad church and I'm happy to welcome in people. I'm not particularly interested in gatekeeping them. The ones that challenged us more were ones that aren't actually from this year or something like that, where we kind of honored the submission because I guess if you watch it that year, then it has a relevance in that year for you.
Well, Caitlin, this was your first engagement with organizing the poll. What about it surprised you?
Well, I guess I was sort of just surprised by like there would be a video essays that had repeat nominations that I had never heard of. So it was fun to discover those. The thing that I love about the poll is being able to discover so many new essays, especially because I come from the YouTube world. Like, the poll was always my first sort of introduction into the world beyond that. I mean, there were some times where I would be like there were things that I wouldn't personally maybe call a video essay, but I think, I wasn't going to sit here and try to, you know, determine whether the voters were right or not. You know, if it's a video essay to them, then it's a video essay to me, I guess.
Curious, did you see the TikTok that Will voted for? Because you made,
yes,
like one of the most defining video essays about video essays, yeah, on TikTok. What did you think of his selection?
I think it counts. There was also like there was an Instagram Reel nomination that it was probably also on TikTok because everything's always like cross-posted. Coming from that background of you know, my TikTok video and arguing that TikToks can be video essays, I definitely tried to like accept everything.
One blind spot that I'll admit to is the whole Nebula sub-economy of video essays. And I'd be really curious, it was written about in the introductory comments. I'd be curious, Caitlin, if you could say more about, has that changed, well, not just the economic system for compensating video essayists who are primarily based on YouTube, but has it done something to change the form itself? Like, has there been any kind of aesthetic effect on how video essays are produced on YouTube?
Well, I think videos posted to Nebula are not subject to YouTube's content ID system and things like that. There is sort of more of a sense of freedom. Like I know a lot of times like video essays, YouTube videos, video essays about like music that feature music a lot. Like one that I can think of from last year was Jacob Geller made a video about the game Immortality, and it featured heavily the song Candy Says by Lou Reed. And like that was central to the essay, but he had trouble like really exploring it on YouTube. So he made like a completely different cut for Nebula. You know, it helps video essayists who are invited to Nebula. It helps them explore more things in their work instead of just being sort of maybe restricted by YouTube. So yeah, when I joined the poll, like the first thing, because I was so curious about Nebula, the first thing I did was like I went to all the YouTube videos and I checked Nebula, because I've been a Nebula subscriber for years. And I checked which ones were posted on there, and one of them, Big Joel's We Must Destroy What the Bomb Cannot, I think. That one, there was like an expanded edition on Nebula. And I also checked people who had Patreon links or any site similar to Patreon in their YouTube descriptions. That's another way to explore like self-funding.
Does this issue between Nebula and YouTube really bring out how restrictive YouTube has become as a creative platform? And are there, and it also, I guess, is a way of bringing up the video that received the most mentions in the poll, which is A History of the World According to Getty Images by Richard Misek, which is very explicitly about a corporation that has basically tried to monopolize a whole wealth of images available. So it just seems like the theme of one's access and ability to use existing materials is itself like a defining, it's been a defining issue for the practice of video essays for many years, but now it really seems to have come to a head in terms of how one can make a video essay today.
I mean, there are kind of two issues in it, I think, because there's this copyright issue, which has been kind of perennial to the point that Tony Zhu, when he kind of folded Every Frame a Painting, spoke about a style of YouTube editing that had kind of built up around avoiding copyright claims. And so like, in a large way, copyright claiming has shaped how video essays work on YouTube, and even by extension Vimeo and Nebula, because those styles are now entrenched. And it'll be interesting to see if that does change over the course of time. But then there's also another issue, which is censorship and how YouTube has started to use things like processing the language that's spoken in the essays to work out if they're swearing or talking about controversial topics, and kind of murmurings within the creator base. I don't know with how much evidence about that being used to change algorithmic kind of determination, like where it sits in the viewing rank. So I think those are kind of two different but interrelated issues that have a chilling effect on the development of video essays on YouTube. And it's interesting that some of the bigger essays that are from YouTube that are mentioned in this either are like more like documentaries, so they have like much more original graphics that don't worry about copyright so much, or they have presentation sequences that form quite a large part of the what's on screen. Lily Alexander's what's the name of it, Kaylin, have you got it on hand? It's about sludge.
Everything is sludge.
Yeah. So that's a good example where there's lots of footage in it that is from copyrighted sources, but it's presented via projection as a way of kind of distorting that image so that it can get around copyright. And I think that was also published on Nebula, or Alexandra is on Nebula more regularly. And it's interesting too that Vimeo, which has always been kind of a safe haven for video essays and often where the more academic essays end up for a varied number of reasons, is also now cracking down on copyright. And in some cases that I've seen with what look like kind of spurious claims on copyright, where maybe the person claiming isn't actually able to claim that, and the quite legitimate kind of protections given by fair dealing or fair use internationally aren't respected by the platform. And that kind of repeats a story that we saw on YouTube in the early days of video essays there. So when I think about Nebula saying, like being a kind of safe haven for copyright, I do slightly think for now in my head. So it'd be interesting to see how that changes.
Oh, so do you see, because this has really been an issue that's blown up in the last month or so, is academic video essays being taken down because of copyright on Vimeo. And like you said, it used to be the safe haven. And so do you think that Nebula could provide the safe haven that is needed at this moment for academic video essayists, or do you see a migration elsewhere?
My understanding is that Nebula is invitation only.
Yeah.
So it's not really a great way of doing that to some extent. But also it's very much kind of creator focused in the sense that it's kind of about pulling in people who will pay a subscription to see these people. So I don't know if that really appeals in the same way that academic essays do.
One thing that I would not have anticipated is the festival world becoming a refuge, because in the early days, copyright exception depends on the video not being used in any commercial way. And obviously a screening in a festival is some sort of commercial use. It might not be the filmmaker themselves, but the, you know, programmers, the festival team making money off copyrighted content. But now I see that it's more broadly acceptable. Again, not necessarily in its initial form, where it's, you know, 100% copyrighted content just remixed in a new way. So festival films that are videographic in form are also somehow creative. Maybe they contain, you know, fresh footage, or they're remixed, the images are distorted, or maybe supercuts that quote a lot of films. And then for everyone, it's obviously not a problem that so many copyrighted clips are included in one work. But yeah, I wouldn't have expected that everything, every online sort of storage would be less welcoming of video essays than festivals.
When I think about the results of past polls, well, in the recent years, they've been incredibly predominantly academic, and these academic video essays are generally accessible on Vimeo. But now with the things that are under afoot, that these changes, you just wonder how accessibility is going to be different. This Vimeo issue is really a big shakeup, and it's gonna, yeah, we'll see how it affects things going forward.
It's just that video essays have been doing it on YouTube. They've been kind of like threading the needle on copyright for years anyway, so there are ways of doing it, and it may just change the academic style or change where it publishes rather than kind of like killing it off.
Well, that's interesting, because okay, so it's saying that the academic video essays may have something to learn from the YouTubers, and this is something I've always been really interested in, is this potential for cross-pollination between, I mean, if you want to acknowledge that there are these different circles or different contexts, like academic, YouTube-based content creators, and then artists and filmmakers. Looking at this year's results, I mean, where do you see the ways in which these different circles encounter each other? Or do you see more separation, or do you see more possibility for integration between them?
Compared to last year's, we've had more festival films. That might be the direct result of inviting more programmers. or it might mean that, you know, YouTubers or academics are making videos that screen in festivals, or it might be that festivals give more attention to found footage work in general, and that's bound to include a few video essays. So either of those is a possibility. On the other hand, I don't strictly agree with the firm distinction between academic on the one side, festival filmmaker, and YouTuber, because, you know, people making films about video essays for YouTube are cinephiles, at least more than the general population, and academics that watch videos are less inclined to recognize the supremacy of the word and so on. So personally, I am an academic again, but I discovered video essays when I was a programmer, so I really belong to all three words to worlds to some extent. But I do feel that each genre has a sort of set of landmarks, and they're pretty steady. You're not going to have a lot of views for an academic work ever, and the other way around.
It is interesting to see that there are like new essayists mentioned in the poll and also in the emerging voices section of the poll who are kind of like up and coming academic essayists, but who obviously come from like a very digital background. People like Occitane Lacoury, whose video Seen as Body gets multiple nominations, which is like a very internet forward essay, but is kind of told in an academic style. So there are interesting cross-pollinations that have already happened and maybe are separate to the copyright issue. And there's also some people like Adam Woodward nominated Carly Mattox, who's a video essayist who started off making like fan cam videos. So that's kind of interesting to see the development from this very kind of fan related internet thing into like a more, so she's working primarily in commissioned work, but like a more academic leaning kind of video.
I noticed that this year's selection was probably maybe the most diverse, with no videos or even authors getting as much critical mass as you might have seen in the past. How did you go about the poll, and how, what was it like getting ballots from people?
Irina had a list that was held over from previous years. So Irina had edited the poll previously, me and Kaylin kind of new to it. And that informed a lot of the invitations, just like a starting point for how we go from it. And the particular focus this year was about inviting people from outside the academic space. It's an oft-noted thing that it tends to be quite academic-leaning. And in part, we were discussing this actually, I think it's largely because academics are more used to doing these kind of things, and there's kind of more value to it that they can foreground people who are doing really good work. And it's equivalent, I guess, to like peer review or something, which just doesn't really happen in the YouTube community. And in certain respects may even have a negative effect on you if you were to say, miss out another essayist who then felt kind of slighted by that. So we do see a kind of respondent issue from content creators, which still trying to address. I mean, it should be said that there's not many more unique videos. I think it's like a 5% increase or something. But as you said, I think the votes are more spread out than they were before. And I guess with the academics maybe being featured more than the YouTubers, it's important to remember that a lot of the YouTube videos featured here have, or a fair few of them have, over a million views. So they're obviously not kind of in need of an audience in the way that some of the academic work that's maybe harder to discover is.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, there were a number of academic video essays that received multiple votes. Like, you know, I don't think any more than 10, nothing hitting double digits, which was maybe a first, but still several votes. And then in the YouTube side of things, correct me if I'm wrong, but like the YouTube video that got the most votes, it wasn't one of these million plus view blockbusters that Will is alluding to, but I think it was like a video essay about a film that actually premiered in Locarno Film Festival, Mad God. Am I correct? And that when I saw that, I was just kind of shocked that, okay, this video essay got the most attention among the YouTube video essays, and it's about a film that very few people have seen. Like, what's going on?
That's part of a new bias that Kaylin is better to explain than me.
Oh, it's because, Will and I both know James DeLizio, the essayist from the Essay Library. And I think this is especially, well, I think it's true with everyone, but like, just like wanting to, I don't know, this sounds like so bad, wanting to highlight like your friends and people, like, cause being in the Essay Library, we're all so collaborative and we all sort of witnessed the process of making this essay. And so that sort of made the final product even better for us. I don't know. Is that like biased? I don't know.
I don't think that's different to like all the academics going to a conference and seeing the same set of essays.
That's kind of true. Equivalent.
And even in the same way that you'll see the stuff develop from a research proposal all the way through to like a final thing. It's worth noting that the four voters who went for that are all members of the Essay Library. But then the Essay Library is non-selective. People can join it at any time. And we do have regular new kind of people who come in and then end up, I don't know about getting a boost from it, but hopefully we have a welcoming environment there.
All right. So the Essay Library is a emergent power broker in the YouTube Pantheon building.
Just to be the devil's advocate for 1 minute, it is something that everyone is doing, because for a festival programmer, the selection is, you know, the festival labor is actually the screening of the best works. And then they feel entitled to select you know, videos that are exclusively from the festivals they program. And I think that's fine. And I'm sure that, you know, making friends with people on YouTube, even if it's informal, kind of is grounded on affinity. So again, it's totally normal for people to vote for their collaborators, their friends, obviously not on the works that they collaborated. We have a strict rule against that.
I almost think about it as being like our job is to just represent our corner of things, like, because there's so many different types of people involved in it that an attempt by any individual to kind of try and take on like an objective view of what is really good tends to make up a boring list, because you end up with the same set of like 10 videos that everyone watches, which is true. So in a way, you want to be more idiosyncratic. And we did have some really idiosyncratic submissions, and also things like, as Arena said, like festival programmers showing largely films that they'd programmed, which of course makes perfect sense. Commissioners mostly picking stuff that they had commissioned. So yeah, it's also worth noting that although some people are recurring names, like we were talking about Chloe Galabert-Lanay showing up repeatedly on this list, they actually haven't been in the poll for that long, and their first appearance is only like 1 or 2 years ago. So there are like new voices coming in all the time, being spotlighted by the poll, and then they become more popular because the poll spotlights them, right? So that's kind of the intended mechanism, I think. And yeah, hopefully that's open to the small YouTubers as well.
I guess to me, it raises this question, or this awareness that there are many, many YouTubes out there. And it's also interesting to me how it happened that the Bessay Library community encountered the Sight and Sound poll on the one hand and the videographic community on the other. You know, would you say that there has been or there is much interaction between the YouTube community and the academic community, or do you find the Bessay Library to be more of an exceptional case?
I would say maybe the Essay Library is a little bit of an exception, or it's there's more interaction. Not to say that there's like zero interaction outside it, but because I have noticed, because I organized the Essay Library Anthology, which is our 60-second video essay compilations, and I've noticed we've had more, you know, scholars and video artists who aren't like YouTubers join. So I do feel like we've created a space that isn't like YouTube exclusive. Because another thing is we have like a rule in the server where you can't like self-promote until you've like sent like 100 or so messages, because something that happens with a lot of like YouTube focused spaces is it becomes sort of just like a subscribe to me like sort of thing. It just becomes about like the, I don't know, YouTube grind, and we've kind of made a very conscious effort to try to shift the focus of our server to just being about the craft of video essays and not so much about like the numbers.
There is some interesting crossover as well, because like Max Tallien, who is one of the poll respondents, is also a member of the Essay Library and has been for a long time. He's quite relatively well-known video essay academic. Dana McLeod and Ocatane Lecurie, I think, have both submitted to the previous anthologies. So like there are these broader kind of combinations. And I was also in Once Upon a Screen Volume 2 with like a bunch of people who are in this list. And we, as a Discord, like we talk about the opportunities on YouTube obviously a lot, but there's also quite a lot of like, hey, there's a call for papers kind of thing, because a lot of people are interested in that more academic end of things too. And it's interesting that James's video kind of ended up with the most votes out of it, because I think in a way it represents a real development in his style away from the YouTube end of things and much more towards an academic end of things. I mean, it's basically a Helen Scarry like discussion, right? Which is like quite an interesting thing to see on YouTube.
Yeah, it's really interesting to just see these kinds of community formations taking place, like especially through collaborative projects like that the Essay Library, for example. And it's interesting to think about how these communities are forming, well, like across, not just within, but across platforms. And given what we were talking about earlier about how, I don't know, unreliable or concerning these platforms are becoming in terms of how restrictive they seem to be becoming.
Collaborative projects were really popular and very well represented in the poll this year. Kaylin, how many were there in the end? There was Once Upon a Screen, 169 seconds, if we're counting that, which is from 69 Journals anniversary. Just like a lot. Johannes Bonotto's series about practices of viewing ended, so that was kind of really widely viewed. Yeah, it's interesting to see that like stuff that had open elements, Indie Vinyl was another one, were really well represented in the list this year. And I think in part because being individual works, but also inviting other people in to kind of consider them in response to or as part of a dialogue of other works, kind of invites people to watch them, you know. So that's interesting to see something slightly more YouTube-y, maybe not quite sub for sub, but
right, it's also an engagement technique.
Something interesting is that I had people in the essay library ask me if we could make an essay library Sight and Sound list, like they wanted to make like the essay library version of it. I don't know, maybe any other year I would do it, but like this year I was busy with the actual Sight and Sound list. I had no time for it. But it was interesting to see, maybe I'm just sort of making assumptions here, but like there is sometimes like when we'll share the poll every year, because I'm always like sending it there and I post it on like the video essay Reddit. And sometimes people will be like, you know, I've never heard of this stuff. Like people on YouTube will be like, I never heard of this stuff. Like, where is so-and-so? So there is like maybe sometimes like it does point to the idea that we can't represent everything.
But that's such an interesting question. Like this poll, I mean, it was a massive undertaking on the part of the three of you, but there's nothing stopping any other community or group from doing something similar. And there are these like lists by individuals that get published on websites like Polygon or Hyperallergic, but this is, yeah, but it's a massive amount of information you've collected, and so for someone who's new and just kind of looking at this and maybe may not even recognize a lot of these titles or these creators, especially if they come from like the blockbuster YouTube community, it's funny how it's analogous to like, you know, you're trying to introduce some kind of festival film to someone who only knows Marvel movies. So how would you, just as a last question, how would you encourage a neophyte or a first time visitor to the Sight and Sound list to engage with it?
Ideally, scroll through the whole of it. If you have above 80 hours, watch everything. If not, start from where it appeals to you most. And I think what's important and definitely credit is due to our collaborators is that they all have, or most of the entries also have short descriptions. So by the time you read that, you will have a pretty clear idea if that's your cup of tea or not.
For me, I have always started with the Emerging Voices section because I think it's exciting to kind of spotlight new work, new people. Emerging Voices is where basically people who submit to the poll are given the option of adding someone who they think is kind of making interesting work and hasn't really been recognized yet for that or something like that. And it's a shorter section because it's optional, so not everyone submits to it, which means that if you really wanted to just take like a quick cut, then why not start there, basically? But yeah, everything that we could find a link for is linked, so it's very accessible to find even like some of the very strange stuff. One of them is published as like an archive.org, like tiny little file, which is a great one. I really like, and that's the most obscure.
Something that I've done in the past is I'll just like, if I don't know where to start, I just like will pick a random name or I'll scroll to a random point in the page and I'll just watch like that person's selections. So it like sort of just like jumping in randomly like that can also be a good way to start, especially if like the whole list is like intimidating. So that's one option too.
And also check back in 2026 if anything is not available now. It might be by then.
Yeah, that's going to be a point of frustration for people, like especially those who are used to just being able to see anything just by clicking on it.
That is a problem that's always on end of year polls, because of course critics get to see festival screenings and previews and stuff like that. The top 10 Sight and Sound list of the year also has, I think, one film that hasn't actually been released yet. So yeah.
No, but I think, you know, since it's trying to be an overview of what video essays can be, we also cannot limit ourselves to videos that we could directly link to.
Well, it's just proof that video essays are cinema, because they're following the same patterns of inaccessibility as you know, festival films and art house films.
And in fact, one of the submissions this year, I think it's got three nominations, two nominations. Twisties is a live performance, so it could not be linked to.
Think the artist's name is Alison Linnaeus. The way that she does it is very similar to the video essay of the Internet Sludge, where she projects, well, she uses green screen to project images around her on his in a Zoom interface. So this is certainly a way of avoiding copyright issues. So looking forward to the online version of that. Well, thanks to all of you, Kayleen, Will, Irina. This has been a really fantastic conversation, and the work you've done just preparing this list is tremendous. And so it'll provide us with many, many hours, if not days, if not weeks, of viewing enjoyment. Thanks again.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks for having us.
The Video Essay Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Will DeGravio. Today's conversation was moderated by Kevin B. Lee. Video editing by Will DeGravio and Kevin B. Lee. A special thanks to our guests, Arena Trocan, Will Webb, and Kaylin Meadows. Emily Subin Co. is the show's associate producer. Music by Ketza. Learn more at thevideoessay.com.